There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a bold counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. A couple hours of live local talk. My name is Sean, and my phone number, well, it's all our phone number, but right now it's my phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Also works with a text and reminder, those talkback messages you can leave us using the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app, which is free and waiting for you at the App Store for Apple users or the Google Play for Android users. Just search for FMTALK 1065, no point between the 6 and 5. You'll see our logo. Download the free app for FM Talk 1065. And there amongst, it's like a digital multi-tool. Okay, there's all kind of stuff the app does. But one I'm talking about specifically on the front page of the app where you're streaming our audio, there's a microphone icon. If y'all will mash that, you can record us a message. It sends it right here and we can play it back on the air. So check that out, the FM Talk 106.5 app. Lots to do on today's show. Before I introduce our guest this hour, like I mentioned with Jeff earlier, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us. I do want to put this out on the Twitter feed. If y'all want to grab it and put it on the Facebook. Well, can we? Okay, can we? If the story is, this is just coming out now. So the story is that Governor Ivey's Austin Chambers over on Twitter, at A Chambers GOP, says Facebook just banned Governor Kay Ivey's campaign page. Now, remember, she probably has like her official capacity Facebook page, but this is the campaign page. Facebook just banned. Governor Ivey is in Facebook jail. Okay, as we get this started, it's kind of apt here because I have the sheriff in. So the governor is in, not in your jail, but she's in Facebook jail. So Austin goes on to say, Facebook just banned Governor Ivey's campaign page because of her comments fighting back against Joe Biden's overreach and vaccine mandate. This is out of control censorship, in-kind contribution to Ivey's reelection, but she won't. But it won't end well for Facebook. She'll fight even more now. So that's Austin Chambers commenting on it. We're going to be digging for more information. But my question, yeah, so if we put it up, I have it on the Twitter feed, but if we put the story up about Governor Ivey's campaign page being shut down on Facebook, will they then, hey, Leanna, find out. Let's put the story up and see if Facebook bans us for sharing a story about them banning Governor Ivey. See how that works. But out of all the people in a given week, if you'd have said, Sean, next week, what Alabama politico would be put into Facebook jail, I would have lost. I would have not guessed Governor Kay Ivey. But so it is as we start Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. And say hello to Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
What do you think they have? What do you think their situation is in Facebook jail? I mean, you think they have population-wise? How they do there.
Well, they're very selective. They've got their own special group that they had to admit that have free reign that don't get checked or something like others. I saw in the Wall Street Journal thing myself this morning as well.
You get you just get a secret committee that puts you in.
I guess depending on how many clicks, if you get so many clicks, then you get in the secret committee and they don't want to get rid of you because you're building a fellowship on Facebook. But if you're just a lonely governor from Alabama, you don't meet the criteria.
So, I mean, you were on the governor's gambling commission.
Yeah.
You've known the governor for a long time. Would you have, were you surprised that the governor of the state of Alabama got put in Facebook jail?
Sure I was. Sure I was. I mean, she's pretty low key. You know, she just speaks what all of us are thinking. She generally will comment, and I think the majority of us that are conservative agree right down the line with what she says.
And she got, wow, there's a lot to, there's a lot of that story to come.
Don't pick on grandma, though.
No, it's going to be, this should be leading news tonight. Let's see if the mainstream media says Facebook bans Alabama's, you know, governor, Kay Ivey, because she said she pushed back against Joe Biden. Which, by the way, if y'all go back in the archives, remember when Jen Psaki had the press conference and they talked about, no, we don't have direct influence over Facebook. And I pointed out that, yes, they do, because if they call up Facebook and say, y'all ought to look into this, that, or the other, they don't say, we're going to make life tough for you if you don't. But that goes unsaid. I think you're seeing it right here. But I don't want to actually, we'll talk politics. You and I talk politics as much as we do law enforcement. Mm-hmm. It's people's chance this hour as well to ask you questions at 343-0106. I'll start off with some political questions before we get into crime. Because every time you're here, while you're here or in the hour after you leave, people are asking me for an update on where we are with this move for annexation and your push to do away with supermajority. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of bring people up to date with that movement and where we are?
Yeah, in making that movement, as you can recall, the city council races, all of the debates and all of the candidates were asked over and over, do they support annexation? Yeah. And finally, for the first time in 40 years, I guess, we've got, it appears to be, I think, just about everybody on board except for Fred, and he's out.
Right.
And so I'm very optimistic that sometime in the very near future that the new sitting council will allow a vote to take place. And I think the administration is preparing that, looking at it, and we'll move forward. And I think they'll move forward fairly rapidly.
Yeah, what's your timeline? Because this is a game Jeff and I have been bouncing this back and forth. When do you think?
Is it
2021 or 2022?
I don't think they'll get to it in 2021 just because of the holidays, but I think it'll be early 2022.
Okay.
Because they don't take office till November, and, you know, they need to get to know each other and, you know, go through some procedures and, you know, have some votes on stuff. But it wouldn't surprise me, but I think certainly there'll be action taken in early 2022.
And for people who haven't followed this, I know it's remedial for a lot of folks, but once again, the council's not voting. City council can't vote and say, we're annexing you in. It's them giving the right for those people to vote to come into the city.
The city council can identify areas of the county, the jurisdiction, have to be contingent with the city and say, okay, we will allow this neighborhood or this targeted area, if they would like to vote to come into the city, we'll allow them to take the vote. If the citizens vote to come in, then, of course, they would come into the city and they'd start picking up more city benefits. Right now, they have the benefits. The ones in the jurisdiction have the benefits of fire and police protection, but they don't have garbage and trash pickup.
Right.
But, you know, many of those people pay the sales taxes in that part adjacent to them that is in the city of Mobile. So they don't have a vote in the say of Mobile, but they also pay taxes into the city of Mobile.
I got this question. So this move for the supermajority, I'm guessing, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Mm-hmm. I'll put it another way. Did your push here to do away with the supermajority in the Mobile City Council, was it dependent on this annexation vote?
Well, it was developed to allow an annexation vote because if you have to have a 5-2 vote to allow annexation, that's just too big of a majority vote when a simple majority of 4-3 would have allowed it, and we had that vote. And I spent 31 years working for the city of Mobile and 10 years as chief, and I saw the inner workings of the city government, and I saw where that supermajority, I thought, is a flawed piece of our government. And some people say that it helps the minorities have more say-so, but quite frankly, I think it hurts the minorities. Probably when it was started 40 years ago in 1985, I think it was 84, when this change of government went, maybe it was good then. But so right now, if minorities want to pass something, if it's something related to minority, they would have to have the three of them right now and two additional. Versus if it was just simple majority, three of them could pick up one person. And so they could pass. And it just, this is the way it should be. We need to get beyond, you know, black and white. And we twice elected a black man mayor when we had a majority white population in Mobile. And now we've, three times elected a white man with a, you know, majority of black. So I hope we're finally past that.
So I guess what I'm digging at there, and I think you maybe have answered that even with this new change here, let's say, and the vote to allow the vote for annexation goes through, you're still a believer in doing away with the super. See what I'm saying? I'm trying to see.
I'm still a believer in that, but but we'll have a new sitting council, and I think they need to play it out a little bit themselves to see where it should go from there. I mean, they represent their communities and stuff such as that. And I know in a lot of the debates, and I watched all of the debates, many of the candidates, of course, I think they're not familiar with it, mm-hmm. as they should be. But I said, well, I think things are working okay right now. Well, I don't think things are working okay right now.
Okay, so you're still, and that's what I wanted to get to. So you're still, even if this, we go post this annexation vote.
Yeah.
And it goes and it allows the vote and whatever happens, mm-hmm. happens. You still believe that we need to do it.
Yeah, I still believe we need to do that. Now, whether or not I'll continue the push or be willing to hand it off to somebody else, I'll just wait and see. But I feel, like I say, I feel very positive that we're going to have an annexation vote. And if we have that vote, they're going to vote to annex in.
All right, let's grab some calls here, too, at 343-0106. And Johnny in Mobile's first up. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hey, Sheriff. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Look, I'm disappointed that the Mobile County Sheriff is mixed up in city politics. I agree with everything you were saying about the services and the taxes and the people. Mm-hmm. But we know all the gerrymandering Sam Jones performed, wrapping up all the businesses and one neighborhood here and there. The city's not out for the benefit of the people, okay? It would be very surprising to me that the Mobile County Sheriff would maybe encourage communities to incorporate themselves. But, I mean, I've even talked to county commissioners, and they won't touch it. That's not my responsibility. And I get that, but here I'm listening to the county sheriff get mixed up in Mobile City politics. Okay. It's disappointing to me.
Let me give you an answer for that. As a lifelong Mobilian, and bear in mind that the what used to be 200,000 now it's down to 187,000 residents of the city of Mobile are still my constituents. And I've studied government, I've watched government, and have a public administration degree, and so I understand it. And I know that the future of the city of Mobile, so goes Mobile, goes the area. And we have less people living in the city of Mobile today than we did 50 years ago. But if you look around us, all the cities around us and all the cities similar situated, Tuscaloosa, Huntsville, places in Madison County and across the bay, they're all growing and have been growing like crazy. So I just saw it as we're dying on the vine if we don't do anything. And I knew it, and I had the ability to speak up and take some action. So that's why I chose to do it. But I agree with you. It was wrong for Sam Jones to gerrymander the areas, and I think this new annexation would not gerrymander, but would take in whole neighborhoods and bring in the people with the businesses.
All right, Johnny hung up. Johnny, here's what I do. When somebody's answering and asking, I don't want just constant crosstalk, so sure. I brought Johnny down for a second, but I was trying to put you back up on. I just don't want to turn into everybody talking at the same time like it is at the dinner table at my house. Tim says, this is kind of on that same thing. Tim says, what difference does it make who is in the city limits to the sheriff of Mobile County when he's has nothing to do with the city?
Well, I do have something to do with
the city. And you have something to do with what goes on outside.
And a whole lot to do with what goes outside. The city, the citizens of Mobile are still my constituents, and we still have law enforcement rights and power to enforce the laws in the city.
The citizens pay the same county taxes as the citizens
in the county, but the citizens of Mobile don't get, quite frankly, the same level of services. If you live in the city, you pay the same county tax as somebody that's living in Chunchula.
Mm-hmm.
But now, do you get the same services as Chunchula? Perhaps not, but we do work in the city from time to time on certain things. But again, as I said, so goes the area.
Well, and I'll just go back to the civic thing for a second. If people are picturing a map of Mobile County, what is those GIS maps with the layers? So the responsibility of the Mobile County Sheriff is the entire county.
That's right.
Okay. Then on top of that, if I'm picturing right, let's lay down municipality maps. So here comes municipalities on there. So you're still there. You're still responsible for this, even though a municipality will take precedence in that area if it's municipality, but you're still, it's not like you're over the whole county, then just laid on top versus.
Yeah.
Okay.
When a city incorporates, they're basically requesting to be the first responders. And that's just historically, that's how it happens. They create their own police department, become the first responders. We can back them up. We can assist them. Or quite frankly, we can go in there ourselves if we so desire, but
is it your jurisdiction?
It is.
Yeah. So the sheriff's department's jurisdiction is also inside municipalities.
The entire county is the jurisdiction of the sheriff's office.
All right. And so one of the things, well, I tell you what, we'll go to the news, we'll come right back, because you've talked about this before, too. Another reason to have a dog in this hunt is what it means for, you've talked about the number of, if the city pulls back from the police jurisdiction, mm-hmm. right, and does that, which has been discussed, what right. that means for sheriff's department, for deputies.
That would have been huge impact for us. We would have really struggled. We'd have had to hire 40 to 50 deputy sheriffs, which this day and age, you just can't hire that many people. And so it really doesn't change too much. If they just annex in the people that are living in the jurisdiction, they're already getting the police and fire services from them. It would not affect the sheriff's office at all as far as calls for service.
And there would be no PJ then.
Right, exactly. Right?
It's not like there's going to extend an
Alabama,
extra.
I think you've had Chris Elliott, somebody.
Many times, yeah.
Alabama's two or three out of the entire nation states that have that. When you have a jurisdiction, it just creates major problems, and we need to get away from jurisdictions.
All right, coming right back, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, too, I just retweeted the governor or whoever's tweeting for the governor. I know there's some arguments people think. I do not think the governor is tweeting for herself, but I could be proven wrong on that. But Governor Ivey said, Facebook banned my campaign page this morning. We fought back and won. Evidently, they're upset that I said I'm standing in the way of President Biden to protect Alabamians from this outrageous overreach by the federal government. Once again, I want to point out that our governor is in Facebook jail. So, yeah, you know, you get put in Facebook jail, you're in good company out there. And then here's my transition. Speaking of jail, sitting right here, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. See, he's got the real world jail, not the digital jail. We are talking a lot of annexation here and on the text sure. line and the phone calls. So get to back to the calls. And this text from Dan said, Sean, to the first caller's point, why would it make a difference to the sheriff if Mobile annexes West Mobile versus if West Mobile self-incorporated? It seems like Sheriff Cochran wants the city to annex. So what is the incentive for him or the sheriff's office to support that? It's a genuine question.
Okay, first, it doesn't affect the sheriff's office that much unless you get outside of the police jurisdiction, which is 3 miles beyond the city limits. But as the city of Mobile goes, I believe it's the business center and everything, and if you have a dying, decaying city like Mobile has been for many years, it affects those areas around it. You still have all the big industry, all the big tax base and all that in the city of Mobile, but you don't have the citizens. I'm not opposed if somebody in West Mobile wants to incorporate. They need to decide which is the better plan for them. But if they think they have a tax base and stuff such as that, many cities that do that don't have the tax base, mm-hmm. and then they go up on taxes. But they're sort of under the wing of the city of Mobile now. Now, West Mobile was to incorporate and close the borders off from Mobile, then Mobile would continue to die just like Birmingham for 50-something years.
There's nowhere else
nowhere to grow. To grow. And these people say, oh, grow from within. Well, that's mostly poppycock. I mean, you can grow some a little bit inside Mobile, but mm-hmm. But the growth in any major city, if you look at the growing, it's through annexation. As people move out, sometimes they want to move to either a newer neighborhood or stuff like that. But you depend on growth to be able to support your original city.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've lost hundreds of millions of dollars in the city of Mobile by being less than 200,000, and that was pointed out, and that's why I moved in this direction. I think when you cross the 200,000 threshold, you qualify for a whole new level of public safety grants, but you also qualify for a whole new level of federal housing grants and stuff, the things that the city of Mobile needs and are missing out on.
Yeah, I do understand that people who push back on this, I understand that, you know, they're like, well, I'm in the county and I don't want to be in the city. But once again, this is the Mobile City Council would vote to allow the vote of the people that are outside, that are in the
PJ. That's right.
So it's not, they're not decreeing this. They're opening it for a vote.
That's right. And a lot of times in these type of situations, you'll divide it up in different territories, and hopefully you don't do it like Mary Jones did, where he lassoed mm-hmm. businesses with a small neighborhood. You do it in fairly distributed chunks. And so, like, you let these neighborhoods vote, do they want to come in? These neighborhoods vote, do they want to come in, et cetera. But not force it upon anybody, just like the shot issue. We're not forcing it on anybody.
All right, coming right back. More with Sheriff Cochran. We'll grab your calls at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 1065. Guest in studio, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Our guest, your chance to ask the sheriff. And maybe we'll get in some law enforcement stuff. A lot of this is still questions around politics. And Tim says, you've got certain groups of populations that are not going to contribute to the tax base of the city of Mobile and require grants for housing. That's why the city is chasing the citizens of West Mobile to pay for these particular groups that exist in the city limits.
The amount of money that someone pays in taxes at the local level does not influence the federal government's dollars that they give in grants. You either qualify for them or you don't.
And the other question, let's see.
But those people living in that area, they're heavily influenced by the way the city of Mobile operates. They're kind of under their thumb, but yet they have no vote. If you're in a three-mile jurisdiction, you're under the guidance of the city of Mobile, but you have no vote.
You know, I mean, once again, if the city council could up and decide to bring areas into the city, I'd be on the other side of this.
I would, too.
I mean, if they could just decree, you're now in the city, then. But if they say, hey, y'all can vote, then your issue is, if you're against this, then your issue is to campaign amongst your other people in that area to say, don't annex into the city.
That's exactly right.
Adam says, been in trouble a few times in life. I've been living in Mobile County now for about a year and a half. I got pulled over for a headlight out. I must say, I get dealing with one of your deputies, was the most helpful law enforcement officer I've ever run into. Hats off to the Mobile County Sheriff's Department. So there you go.
Cool. I appreciate him. Thank you.
Also, listen, we get good, pretty good reaction here from the Sheriff's Department. I know that, a few months ago, we were talking about people speeding in one section. And if people see stuff like, people often will say, yeah,
they were right.
What was that story? It was on, Schillinger or was it?
Yeah, it was on Schillinger's Road between Three Notch and Cottage Hill. Said, man, Sheriff, these people are going 100 miles an hour. So I went back to the office and sent an email out to the guy over our special enforcement for doing it. He put somebody out. I mean, like within 48 hours, somebody said, man, I clocked a guy doing 100-something miles an hour. And I said, they were right.
Yeah, and people think there's no recent call, Sheriff's Department, no recent call Police Department. Don't take that advice.
Yeah, we have some grant money for traffic enforcement. As a rule, we don't normally do a lot of traffic enforcement.
Right,
it's left up to the Highway Patrol, but this special traffic enforcement grant. So the deputies are on overtime when they're enforcing the traffic laws, and we go to the hot spots. And
100 miles an hour is pretty hot spot.
That's right. And had a number of car chases, but we don't. It's very dangerous to get involved in a car chase. So it's just time of day and all such as that. But yeah, they were speeding like crazy through there, and in fact, the troopers are already working it. But if you go out there, you'll see there's two or three different crosses how people lost. I think seven people have lost their lives in the last few years on Schillinger's Road in crashes.
Who was I talking? I was talking to somebody the other day. They called me and they were on 45. And I was talking, they said, you go on and on and on about how dangerous 45 is. I said, yep. They didn't disagree with me, but they said, and I said, as you make your ride here, because they were there at the 1745 split, I said, start looking for crosses.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on the phone with me for about 20 minutes. They said, oh, my Lord.
Yes.
I said, yep. Just check that out.
What's so bad on those things? Because they're high-speed highways, and when there is a crash, it's usually just really, really bad.
I mean, up to Citronelle, north of Citronelle, that's y'all's here. And it's – I don't need to tell you anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I continue my battle on getting money for 45 because it's a – I mean, I just drove it. The best tell I just drove it this weekend. I was up there working, but – so I have a new driver in my house. Mm-hmm. Beware, Mobile County. Mm-hmm. and we're letting her drive different areas, but not giving her full range. But I don't know when I can ever turn my daughter loose to go to the farm.
Yeah.
And that's a statement that I'm like, I don't ever want her driving 45. This texture says, my son-in-law had a couple of vehicles stolen from an auto repair shop. These vehicles were found, and they're at a tow yard. The owner of the tow yard won't answer or return his calls. Can my son-in-law take his car titles to the tow yard and get his vehicles? Does he need an officer to go with him? Does he need a lawyer?
I don't think he needs a lawyer. If he's got titles and he reported them as being stolen, he needs to contact the law enforcement agency that he reported them being stolen and
not calling me back. Or
that's right. And we'll go to the tow yard and find out if the cars are there, and we'll seize the vehicles if they're stolen.
There you go. All right. So so to whoever they made the initial report to.
Yeah, whoever they made the initial report to. And that the tow yard or the owner of the junkyard or whatever, he's got to have proof that he had clear title to the vehicle if he took it in for to resell or parts off of or something like that.
Earl asking, would the new areas, so let's say they annexed in, would the new areas get a councilman for themselves? How would the city council?
Well, once they annex in, then the next city election, they would be assigned a city council district. And every 10 years.
On the census?
On the census, they redesign. Now,
would it go to six because six borders it, and then six would lose in another part to make up?
Sure. They as a council have to redistrict seven districts every time there's a 10-year census, which we just had one recently. Now, I don't know if.
So we wouldn't add. So what Earl's asking, maybe.
You wouldn't have an eighth city council member. But in due time, they would be all represented by a council member that they would have a right to vote for, to elect or not to elect.
I never studied that in the Zogby Act. Are we locked down at seven, and the seven will just get larger, or would there be any?
It's divided into seven.
All right, let's see here from the text line. A question I could. Oh yeah, you know what? Let's do that because we haven't done that, and actually two shows, amazing. Update on conceal and carry. In Mobile County, number of people and also walk, because somebody had a question last time too about the windows of time you can get a concealed carry permit for, pistol permit.
Well, the windows of time are Monday.
I'm saying like you can get it for a year.
Or up to 5 years.
Okay.
And you can renew online. You can apply online and receive it online.
That's what I did last time. That was, if I did have one.
64,000 current permit holders. Some of the, that's like, that are current. Some of them may be a 3-year permit, 1-year permit, whatever, but we actual 64,000 permit holders in the county of Mobile, and that's out of about 420,000 people, so most people have permits. On an annual basis, we turn down close to around 800 people for various reasons, most of which are convicted felons prohibited to possess a firearm, but others have lengthy criminal arrest records that may not be felonies but have terrible records, people that you and I would not want to be carrying a gun concealed on or about their person or in the car because they're known to have a short temper, fight all the time, disorderly conduct, public drunkenness, or drug uses and stuff like that. So therein lies why I so adamantly support the right or the need to have a background check before you get a permit. That's the argument that we have with others that want to do away with permits. But if you do away with that on an annual basis, you're going to have as many as 800 people that many people don't think should have a permit, have that ability to do it. And they're carrying it, and they'll be carrying around your teenage sons and daughters in places of restaurant, nightclubs, sports bars, and anywhere up and down the street.
That's the price
to pay to know that if somebody is carrying a concealed gun, they've had a background check, and it's been reviewed by law enforcement.
Is that your answer when somebody says, listen, they already had a NICS check when they went and bought the firearm?
Well, they have a NICS check only if they go to a licensed firearm dealer. And if they're one of 50% of the counties in Alabama that turn the information in, 50% of the ones in Mobile County don't turn in those that have been committed to mental institutions and things like that. Or it doesn't count that if I buy a gun from Sean Sullivan in the parking lot of the ABC or something, you don't have to run a NICS check on it. You can sell a gun to me. So only the people that go to a federal licensed firearm do they have a NICS check.
All right. Let's switch gears here for a second. I've been following y'all's efforts. The mobile kitchen I was corrected. I thought it was Tangipahoa Parish, but it's to. I've always said Tangipahoa, but I've never had anybody there locally. So if you know how to say that correctly, yeah. I want to make sure when in Rome. But that parish over in Louisiana, y'all are over there.
We just came back, I think, yesterday or today, and we were up to.
So what were y'all doing?
We were serving meals to first responders, law enforcement, and other first responders, and even some linemen that were in the area, so they could get a warm meal and all like that. We were doing 1,400 meals a day, and over a 2-week period, it finally started decreasing pretty rapidly in the last couple of days, and so we were able to bring them home.
Ponchatoula
is where we're at. That's in that county you're talking about.
Somebody correct me here.
And that's sort of north of Mandeville.
North of the lake up there.
North of the lake and all like that.
The And y'all have done that in Louisiana multiple times. I know Texas, you went to Houston, right?
Yeah, we went to Houston the very first time. Then we went up to, was it North Carolina or South Carolina? Then we went down into Florida, and now we've been to Louisiana a couple of times.
Not saying that y'all don't just do it because it's right, but will there be some reciprocal, God forbid, if we ever need it?
Yeah, you would probably think there would be. Yeah. But it's you know, we know what hurricanes do. Mm-hmm. We've experienced them here. Thankfully, we haven't experienced one as bad as this Ida did in many, many years. But as everybody's watching the news, sees just how devastating it was. And so, you know, it does. It keeps our guys in practice. You know, if we had a major catastrophe here and we needed to feed some of our own people, mm-hmm. our people are well-trained and capable of doing it. Plus, we have a jail full of 1,450-something inmates. If the jail was put out of service, you know, we'd have our own thing. Mm-hmm. We could prepare food for them. I mean, it's all about being prepared and surviving the extremes.
Speaking of which, so the latest prison proposal they talked about, as somebody responsible for the jail that sends, you know, people to the prisons or back, what's your take?
I guess I'm delighted or happy that they finally, it seems like they've got a plan, and it's not a privately funded, privately financed, and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be by bonds. And I've thought from day one that the state should be able to build their own prisons and finance themselves and not let people make profit off of it. Just like the ill-begotten bridge over the bay was a boondoggle. And but the state should build prisons. They need new prisons. And I'm hearing many of the state senators saying, look, this is not to let people out of jail. We need prisons. We may need more prison space because – look, we've got some really, really dangerous people in prison that do not need to get out, not now, not later, not ever.
Right.
When you figure in this county of Mobile, we may average 70 to 80, 85 homicides a year. Wow. Some of these are really bad, bad, dangerous people. So if you do that three or four more counties across the state, if you think you're putting up maybe 200 murderers a year in prison, it don't take long to have several thousand really bad people that don't need to get out and be amongst us.
I've asked a lot of folks from state government to law enforcement this idea, because somebody will text me all the time when I talk about it and say, well, if they let all the people who are just in there for weed or the nonviolent drug offenders out, we wouldn't have this problem. I haven't done my own audit, but I've talked to you and many other people that tell me that's not who's there.
That's not who's there. In fact, I think somebody finally said there's not a single person in here in the prison for personal use of marijuana.
Right.
But people just keep like to tell those lies and distort the truth. But there are murderers, robbers, and rapists, and again, some of the meanest people in the world that you could ever think of. I mean, think of this guy, that Dennis, somebody that killed the boy and cut his arms and legs off hanging in a tree and cut it and dismembered him, and that was the second murder. He'd served a life sentence and got out early from Mississippi for killing a couple of people in Mississippi, and then he came to Alabama and killed this 18-year-old kid, and there are dozens more like him.
Coming right back, more with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest right here on Midday Mobile. Your chance to ask the sheriff. They got some concealed carry permit questions coming in, so we'll do those when we return.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Go to the text line at 343-0106. Also phone line, same number. As our guest, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran here to your chance to ask the sheriff. So maybe I started back up with concealed carry permit questions, we do that. So Earl has asked, can you carry in a sports bar?
Yes.
You can. He said,
you've got a concealed carry.
Right. So let's go back to this. So with the concealed carry, you go to a sports bar. What is the definition of I think I've used this term before. I know it's on a bar versus sports bar versus bar and grill. I mean,
sports bar is when somebody just has TVs hanging, playing a lot of sports, and it's no different than a bar.
Is it a food amount that I always
heard? That's the difference between a restaurant and a sports bar and a nightclub. You know, some of your places have to have based on the license itself, but that has no effect whether it's a restaurant, sports bar, or bar as far as concealed carry. There are very few places you cannot carry a concealed weapon if you have a permit for it. Things like government buildings, airports, airplanes, things like that. Now, the only way someone prevents you from bringing it in is if they have a guard posted at the door or a turnstile posted there to say no guns allowed. That's the only way you prevent a permitted gun from coming in.
But what if they have a sign up that says no guns allowed?
That doesn't stop. They've got to have a guard. Because now, if you carry it in there non-concealed, they're going to say, hey, you've got to go. You've got to leave the premises. But if it's concealed, they don't know you have it on you and all. But, again, the law is specific that you have to have a guard posted or have it roped off where you have to go through a turnstile to say no guns allowed.
The way I've understood it, and you can correct me where I'm wrong, if I go somewhere that my concealed carry permit is not valid, I've now handed over my security of my life to them. Mm. And so so that's why armed guard, turnstile, those places.
That might be the rationale behind it. I don't know. Remember that these
you got to show me that you can protect me because I'm not. You're now denying me that right to conceal.
Yeah, that's probably the rationale behind it, but be mindful, these laws are not always written out for clarity and all like that. They're usually hammered out for all kinds of agreement, disagreements to finally compromise on something. So after you have all these compromises, sometimes it doesn't work out. Just like a number of years ago, these laws messed up a book on the law where carrying a weapon on the property of somebody else used to be an offense and you could be arrested for. Well, they rewrote some of that and they forgot to put the penalty in there, so the Supreme Court of Alabama threw it out. So that law is no longer valid. So other than being asked to leave and you're refusing to leave,
that is trespassing,
but not for carrying a weapon on property not your own.
The texter says, in my younger years, 5-plus years ago, I got 2 DUIs, both youthful offender. They're off my record. Would that be a red flag for concealed carry? Only tickets I've received in the last few years was for speeding or an expired tag.
That would not interfere with them getting a concealed carry.
All right. Here's one. This would be we've talked about this before, but this texter said, would the sheriff be okay with making the pistol permit free?
Probably not, in all honesty, because over the years we've received income and we use that income for a lot of different things, training and paying phone services for smartphones and things like that.
Is it your decision to make, Sheriff?
No, it's up to the legislature. Now
that's the thing that I think gets
but
lost.
You know, if it was free, that's fine. I mean, my number one priority is the public safety check. I think everybody should have a check.
But
for
you don't have a. This is where I want to come back to, because so many people misunderstand. You don't have a say so. You don't set that. That comes out of Montgomery, right?
That's right. They set it. So if they were to make it free, then I would go to the county commission and say, look, they just cost us this amount of money that we have on an annual basis, and I want you to replenish it or replace it. But I will tell you, rarely, and I can't think readily, where someone has complained personally to me about having to pay $20 for a check. They just don't do it. I think it's those 800 to 900 people we turned down. They're the ones that are behind doing away with it so that they can carry guns.
Brian's asked, when traveling to other states where we have reciprocity for our CCP, what department would be the best to confirm the CCP rules in that state?
Well, you could go to the Alabama Attorney General's website, and it will tell you which states accept our concealed carry in their states. But all the states surrounding us here, right here in the South, they all accept our gun permits.
Brandon says, if I cross into Florida with my gun, is my Alabama permit good?
Yes.
David says, due to sweating so much, the ink on my pistol permit has washed off. Wow, David, because how much is it going to cost me to replace my 5-year-old pistol permit, even though I've already paid the fee? I mean, when did... It's been plastic hard card for a long time.
Yes, plastic hard card.
If I even knew.
I guess the ink could come off of it, perhaps, like you say, but he just needs to come down there and issue him a replacement.
All right.
It's not going to cost him anything.
John, we've got to make it fast up against the news here, but John, you're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hey, Sheriff. How you doing today, sir?
Good. Thank you.
I was just wondering, what's the law on concealed carry for, say, I wanted to take my concealed carry into my daughter's elementary school?
You know, a lot of people think that's prohibited, but if it's a properly authorized concealed carry permit, it's not against the law for you to go there. Don't let somebody mislead you and say it's against federal law, because it's not. If you read the federal law and go into the second or third paragraph, it will tell you that unless you've been issued a concealed carry by a proper authority of state government, and that's the sheriff.
Okay.
It's ironic that the school system.
Carry into a school?
Yeah. It's ironic that the school teachers would get fired if they carry concealed carry with a permit on the school campus.
Why wouldn't their
parents can come there with a gun?
Yeah, and I know. I mean, the school, because they're employed, but that one bothered me too. That their rights as a citizen would change as being a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, like, couldn't they argue that their right to carry in there was their right as a citizen of the county, not as a teacher?
Mm-hmm. That's an age-old question about the property rights of the employer versus the rights of the employee. And, you know, those are at odds sometimes.
Last question here, unnamed texter. This will be fast. Am I legal to open carry without a concealed carry permit?
Yes.
There you go.
Can't carry it in a car, though. You have to have a concealed carry to carry a weapon in a car. Not because it's whether concealed or not. That's just a law that you have to have a concealed carry to carry a pistol loaded in a vehicle.
There you go. All right, Sheriff, as always, appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate your listeners. I learn, take away as much as I bring.
Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.